Morning.
Morning.
I'm feeling better every day. Well, I'm glad you're here again today. It's been a blessing to be here. As Brother Linda was teaching this morning, I couldn't help but think how long ago it was that I showed up here. I don't feel that old. But it was over 34 years ago that I showed up at this place. And as he was talking about on-the-job training, I had to just chuckle at myself how much I had to learn when I showed up here. And you know, you heard about that old preacher that was going through his closet one day. His wife was out shopping or something, and he found this box. And he opened it up, and there was 3 eggs in it. And a huge wad of $1 bills. And he was wondering, what in the world is this for? So when his wife came home, he asked her, he says, I found this box. What's with this box? She says, well, when you were a young preacher, you know, you didn't always have the best sermons, and at first I was kind of critical, and I decided that wasn't the best idea. So I decided just whenever you preached a bad sermon, I would just put an egg in there. 3 eggs? Not so bad. So what's with all the money? So, well, when I got a dozen eggs, I'd sell them for $1. So I appreciate your patience over the years with me. I appreciate my wife's patience over the years. Open your Bibles today to the book of Haggai. The book of Haggai, probably not a book you read very often, but it's in the Old Testament. It's near the end of the Old Testament. Haggai chapter 1. I am so thankful for this church and the many, many things I've learned and from the men in this church that have taught me so much. I am eternally grateful. I'm thankful for my godly parents that didn't listen to the world and did what God said. And I'm thankful for a godly father and a godly mother. I want to read verse 5. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity we have to meet together in freedom and to listen to your word, to read your word. Thank you for your mercy upon us. Each and every day. Bless us today. Speak to our hearts. Give me the words that would honor you and that would encourage and challenge each heart. In Jesus' name, amen. That's pretty good advice. You don't get much better than that. Consider your ways. There's another verse in Ecclesiastes in chapter 7 that I'd like you to look at. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And it'll be verse 8.
Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof." Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. You know, it's pretty smart to figure out where you're going. Not just what it looks like right now, but where it's taking you. Consider your ways. That's good advice for anybody. You know, you don't just go down, turn down a road and take it because it looks nice. You better find out where it's taking you. You know, get a map out, follow the road out all the way to the end and see where it's going. It might not be going the right way. So God tells us here, consider your ways. Have you asked yourself lately, where is your way taking you? Where is it headed? Like it says over there in Deuteronomy, you know, consider your latter end. What's going to be the end of it? Because there is an end to it. It is going somewhere. So, consider your ways. Then there's a verse in Proverbs chapter 14. And verse 12. Says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There's a way which seemeth right. Isn't that a problem with a lot of people today? Is they're taking the way that seems right. People don't always consider the end. They just look at the beginning. And they say it seems right. It looks good. But the end thereof, that's what you got to look at. Where is it going? Where are you headed? Where are you going to end up 5 years from now? 10 years from now? Where are your kids going to end up? Well, that's why it's good advice. And God says, consider your ways. And this verse we just read is so important that you turn the page to chapter 16:25, and you have one of the few places in the Bible where a verse is actually repeated almost verbatim. 16:25, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." In case you didn't get it, in case you missed it the first time, God gave it to you again. Watch out for what seems right. And I find a lot of people do things just because they seem right. You know, like, for example, everybody's doing it. It just seems right. Everybody can't be wrong. The majority can't be wrong, can they? Surely not. There was a time when Debbie and I still lived in Mexico, and I had to make a quick trip to the border to get our papers changed or something, and I left to come back to Mexico from, I was at a border town, and I left like at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was in Reynosa. That border of Reynosa, and I was trying to get to the right road. I didn't know that town very well, and I got lost. And there was no signs, like, you know, like there never is any signs like that in those that part of the world. But I was just lost. And I thought, well, look at all these cars. Sure, they're all going to the border, you know. So I started following all these cars. That was a big mistake. I ended up in the part of town I had no desire to be a part of. Man, I turned around so fast. It seemed right. Everybody was going that way. And in the middle of the day, all the traffic goes to the border. But you know what? I realized, like a dummy, at 3 a.m., people aren't going to the border. They're going somewhere else. some ways seem right just because everybody's doing it. Or maybe it seemed right because you just feel so free. Oh, that's what young people want these days, right? They want to be free. It seems right because I can do what I want. And I've been dreaming about this for all my life. That's how young people think. They think about just getting away from the rules, getting away from all the commands and all the thou shalt not and all the do this and do that and don't do that. And they get away and they think, this seems right. I can finally do what I want to do. Careful. Or maybe it seems right because it's just the path of least resistance. Oh, just easy. It's just no problems. I could just do it and nobody tries to stop me. Nobody says no. It's just great. Or maybe it just, you use that cliche, it feels right. That's one of those things that, you know, young men use with a girl they're trying to get into bed. It just feels right. He don't care about what's right. He don't care about what's moral. He just says, you know, we just go together. It just feels good. It just feels right. It seems right. But the end thereof are the ways of death. You better be careful. You better consider your ways. And so you look at the Bible and you find some things about the ways that seem right, but they're not. And you know what the Bible says? I'll give you a few examples and then I'll get to what I really want to give you today, the main part. But it says that in Proverbs chapter 2, it says the way is dark. Proverbs 2:12. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. It seems right, but it's dark. And that's maybe why it seems right, because you don't like light when you're rebelling against God. You don't want the Word of God. You don't want anybody to tell you what's wrong. You want it dark as can be. You don't want to be around light. You want the lights turned off. You want the Bible closed. You don't want anybody telling you what's right and what's wrong. But it's darkness. Amen. In fact, the Bible says things like this. It says that light is good. And it says what a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. You know, you need light. You hear about that farmer? He was a real tightwad. And he had a guy working for him. And this hired hand was going to see his girlfriend. He was courting a girl, and he's walking down to the next village, and he had his lantern, and he's taking this lantern, and this farmer was upset because he was using, you know, too much oil for this lantern. He was so tight. He said, what do you need that light for? When I was courting my wife, I didn't use no light. He said, yeah, and look what you got. Light is good. You need some light. You need light on your life to make the right decisions. You need light to see where you're going. It says that the wicked, they don't know at what they stumble. When you don't have light, you make a mess of things and you don't know how it happened. You start rebelling against God, doing your own thing without the light of God's Word, and you start making a mess of your life. You start destroying your life and you don't even know how it's happening. You were promised freedom, liberty, fun, but it's all just coming apart. It also says the way of the wicked is crooked in the verse 15, the same chapter. Whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. You start rebelling and doing your own thing, your ways will be so crooked you can't give a straight answer to any question. You can't admit anything right. You start making up things. You can't even admit that you're rebelling. You can't even admit that you're stubborn and proud. You're just so crooked, you can't even talk straight. But the way is also an abomination. And that's what most of us don't like to hear. The way of the wicked is an abomination. Chapter in Proverbs 15:9. Look what it says there. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. That's usually your brother's sin, your neighbor's sin, right? It's never yours. And we think of abomination as, you know, the really bad stuff. But the Bible says, among other things, lying lips are an abomination. Like Brother Mike says, guilty, right? Lying lips are an abomination. A proud heart. Glad that's not me, right? A proud heart is an abomination. You get proud in your heart and think you're better than somebody else. You get proud in your heart and nobody can tell you anything. It's an abomination. Here's another one. Divers weights. You know, divers weight is when your brother's a gossip, but you're just well informed and honest. Yeah? The guy on the road is a road hog, and you're in control. That's an abomination. Divers weights. Judging one person harshly and judging yourself really easy. That's an abomination, God says. Idolatry. Idolatry is an abomination. But now I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15. Proverbs 13:15. A lot more things about the way of the wicked that would educate you. I want to give you just one more verse here. 13:15 says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. When God says, consider your ways, God wants you to know the way of the transgressors is hard. It's hard. You think you just take the actual concept of transgress. You know, transgressing a law is not a good idea. We have laws of nature, physical laws. You try to transgress them, you're in trouble. You know, like gravity. It's not a good idea to try to transgress the law of gravity. You really can't transgress it. Amen. But if you try, you're going to pay the price. Amen. It's going to hurt. You try to take some poison, you're messing with some laws there that are going to mess you up. You try driving a car into a concrete barrier, because you had one too many drinks. Amen. It's going to hurt.
Amen.
It'll kill you. The way of the transgressors is hard. So, consider your ways. Tell your kids. Amen. Inform your children that the way of transgressors is hard. Not wise to transgress God's law because it also has consequences. There are several ways that the way of the transgressors is hard. Number one, it's hard on your pocketbook. It really is. Doing things your way, rebelling against God, living your own life, Doing what you feel like doing often is hard on your pocketbook. Never made any sense to me to take your hard-earned money and go blow it on something that the next day you're going to regret having done. And you paid for it. You actually wrote the check. You know, you read about the prodigal son in Luke 15. Remember what happened to him? It says, he wasted his substance with riotous living. And while he's spending the money, well, he's having a blast. But when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He paid the price. He spent every dime he had. He spent it all. The way of treasures is hard on your bank account. It's just hard financially. It doesn't pay to go against God. It doesn't pay to rebel against God. And you young people, you better pay attention. You think when you're young, you think it's all easy, and you think you're all under control, and it's your life, and it's your money. But you better be careful. Because the way of transgressors is hard. But it's hard on your body. Man, it takes a toll on the body. You know, if any of you young people are wondering, you know, if it's really that bad, just go downtown one of these evenings with the guys that go out preaching on the streets. And you'll find out that the way of transgressors is hard. Man, it just destroys the body. It messes you up sometimes for life. It promises you a lot of nice stuff, a lot of fun. But look at Proverbs 23, verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Verse 32. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Remember? The end is better than the beginning. You better look at the end. Because at the end, it's not what it started out to be. It started out to be fun. It started out to be a blast. It started out to be freedom and cool. And in the end, you might as well have been stung by a snake. By a rattlesnake. Because the way of transgressors is hard. You know about that lady that was walking down the street and she sees this little old man on his porch, all wrinkled up, smiling, happy. She says, I can't get over how happy you look. What's your secret to a happy life? To a long, happy life. He says, I smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day and I drink a case of whiskey every week. Well, how old are you? 26. Yeah. That's the way of transgressors. It's not an accident. It's not an accident that sin takes its toll on your body, on your health. Amen. It's just the natural progression of things. Amen. The wages of sin is death. Proverbs chapter 5. Young ladies, you better pay attention. Young men, you better pay attention. You're not going to get away with it. Sooner or later, it will catch up with you. Amen. The law of sin will catch up. Chapter 5. Verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? It seems right. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, ye children, depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. You want to give your honor and your years away? Take that way, it seems right. Then he says in verse 11, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Consumed with the ravages of sin, the ravages of addiction, the ravages of rebellion. All these things are going to take their toll on your body. But it's also hard on your mind. It will destroy your mind.
Amen.
Proverbs 23, verse 33. What does it say? Speaking about the liquor, says, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Sin messes with your mind. It's hard on your mind. You can't think straight. You start making stupid decisions.
Amen.
You start using foolish so-called logic.
Amen.
Because the way of transgression is hard on your mind. It changes how you think. It gets you away from thinking logically and reasonably. Instead of fearing God, you start fearing everything else.
Amen.
Except God.
Amen.
It messed with the mind of that prodigal son. He wanted to eat pig food. You know, I bet he never thought he'd be eating pig food. I bet that wasn't in his plan. What do you think?
Amen.
You think he thought, you know, I'm going to go out. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to have freedom. I'm going to be cool. And then after a while, I'll just sit down and eat some pig slop. No, that's not what his plan was.
Amen.
But you know what? It's hard on your family.
Amen.
Rebellion against God in whatever form. Whatever form. Maybe you don't think you're in danger of getting aside into addiction, but you ought to think twice. Some mighty men have been brought down by addictions.
Yeah.
Pornography, drugs, alcohol, among others.
Amen.
But whatever rebellion that may seem right to you now, whatever kind of wicked way that may seem okay right now to you or tomorrow when the situation presents itself, it's hard on your family. There's no way around it. You know, God designed the family. It was His idea.
Thank you, Lord.
It was not an accident. And it is ordained by God.
Amen.
The husband and the wife and the children in a home. That's not puritanical. That's not old-fashioned. That's just God's design.
Amen.
And you rebel against God, it's going to affect your family. It'll affect your marriage. It'll affect your children. It'll affect your parents. It's going to affect everything. Lot found out the hard way. Lot thought, I don't need Abraham. I can do well on my own. I don't need this church. I can do well on my own. I can raise my children at home without the church. I can teach them the Bible without the church. A lot of people have tried that. And I know sometimes maybe there's no choice. But you better be careful how you make the decision. You better be careful why you're doing it. Because if you're rebelling against God because you're just too proud, or maybe you don't have the thick skin that was mentioned today, and you get away from the will of God, you're going to find out the way of transgressors is hard on your family. Because you don't have it all figured out.
Amen.
Lot went away, did his own thing, made some bad choices, and before long, he had lost everything. He lost his wife. He lost his sons-in-law. He lost his daughters too, in a certain way. Nothing good about the end of that story. Man, he should have considered his ways a long time before that. The way of transgressors is hard on your family. It makes your family dysfunctional, complicated, and just messes everything up. There are challenges to raising a family. Why would you want to add rebellion to that? There are challenges to raising children in this day and age. You better get every advantage you possibly can. The way of transgressors is hard on your family. It's not easy raising a baby on your own, young lady. Seems right. It just seems right. We love each other. Careful. Because after the fun is over, then it gets tough. It's hard. That was not God's design. It was not God's design to have broken families.
Amen.
Children out of wedlock.
Amen.
That wasn't God's plan. I know maybe we found ways to make it work. And then we have government programs to make it easier. Make it less of a burden financially. But that's not the ideal.
Amen.
God has a much better ideal. Better be careful. You know, it's hard to be made free from. The way of transgressors is hard. You can't just get free easily. Oh, I know. Everybody says they can stop any time. I can stop any time. I can stop this addiction whenever I want. You think so? It'll get a hold of you and it will not let you go.
Amen. Amen.
Whether it's
Amen.
Liquor, whether it's drugs, whether it's pornography, whether it's fornication, whether it's running around, it'll get a hold of you and you can't get out of it.
Amen.
You're not as strong as you think you are.
Amen.
You're weak. You were made to need God and God's power and God's fear. You were not made to just go out on your own and do what you want. You're not going to beat the odds.
Amen. Preach. Amen.
Samson thought that. He was strong. You think you're strong. Oh, man. He was a strong guy. We'd all look up to that guy. He thought, that's okay. He rebels against God, and then he thought, that's okay. I'll get up like I did other times. And I'll just shake this off. And he didn't get up. The way of transgressors is hard to be made free from. What does it say in Proverbs 23? Verse 35. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Wow. You think that won't touch you? You will try to be free, and you won't be able to get free. You'll decide, yes, no more. And you'll wake up, and you'll seek it again. It's hard to get free from sin. It'll get a grip on you, on your mind, on your body, on your life. But it's also hard on your soul.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved. He's talking to Christians, it sounds like to me. Dearly beloved. And it's not a wedding. I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. You think it can't hurt you? You think lust can't hurt you? You think that we're just too old-fashioned around here? That we don't know how to have fun? No. We know how to have fun. We just like to have fun that we don't regret having the next day.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We like to have fun that honors God.
Amen.
We like to have fun that strengthens the family. We like to have fun that we don't have to worry about the next day wondering where all our money went to. Abstain. How about that one for a new word for us these days? Abstinence? I bet if you ask teenagers today, they wouldn't know what that word means. Abstinence? You ought to learn that word. Abstinence! No! No alcohol! I don't need it! I don't want it! No drugs. No fornication. No pornography. No rebellion. No wickedness. No filthiness. No filthy communication. Abstinence. Why? Because fleshly lust war against your soul. They mess you up. It's hard on your soul. It's hard on your future. It's hard on your mind. The Bible says, the way of peace they have not known. No peace. There's no peace to the wicked. It promises you all kinds of peace, but it gives you no peace. Destruction and misery are in their ways, it says. Misery. You really think sin is worth the misery that it leaves you?
No, sir.
Consider your ways.
Amen.
Consider your latter end. Don't be fooled by what seems right.
Amen.
But you know, there's one more thing. And that's in Ezekiel. Actually, two more things, I'm sorry. Revelation chapter 21. It's hard on your soul, on your eternal soul. Because sin in whatever shape or form you look at it is transgressing against God's law. All of His laws. Whatever it is you know you should be doing and you're not, you're transgressing God's law. Sin, the way of the transgression is hard on your eternal soul. Look at Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. You think, I'm safe. None of those have anything to do with me. Got one more for you. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You thought just murderers go to hell. You thought just Hitler went to hell. You thought just pedophiles went to hell. You thought just the really bad guys on the, you know, in the slums went to hell because they're really bad. Good people go to hell every day. Good church-going people go to hell every day. Because all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And we're all liars. The way of transgression is hard on your eternal soul. You better think twice. You better consider your ways. And then, in Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33. In verse 11. Listen to what God says. This is God's book. And we've already read enough information about sin today that should make any reasonable person agree that this is true. I mean, the Bible tells us all about the wages of sin, and you'd be foolish to think, nah, I don't think that's true. Look what God says. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Why will ye die? The way of transgressors is hard to understand. Why do you want to die? Why do you want to lose? Why do you want to lose your health, your family, your testimony, your future, your soul? That makes no sense. God is saying this. This is God. And He's saying, why? You ever talk to your kids that way? Why? Why? Why are you doing this? And God asks the sinner the same question. Why? Why do you want to die? Why do you want to throw your life away? Why do you want to throw your future away? Why do you want to just trade a life of peace with God for an eternity in hell? Why? Give me a good reason. Why will ye die, It's hard to understand. Why do you want to fight against God? Why do you want to fight against the law that cannot be broken? You're not going to break that law of God that says the wages of sin is death. It doesn't have to be that way. We read in the book of Luke chapter 15. We read about a young man who in the beginning did not consider his ways. He didn't think too much about the future at all. Luke 15, verse 17. This prodigal son had the world by the tail. He had it all figured out. Things were going great. And then the chickens came home to roost. And in verse 17 it says, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. You know what I think he said? I think he said, what am I doing here? Why am I here? Why am I staying here? This makes no sense. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. There is a better way. The way of transgressions is hard, but there's a better way. You can come to yourself. Humble yourself and say, yeah, that was not one of my better decisions. That was pretty stupid. That was pretty foolish. It seemed right, but it wasn't right. It looked good, it felt good, but it wasn't right. I will arise, go to my father. I will say, I have sinned, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He didn't just say that, he actually carried it through. He said, it says in verse 20, he arose and came to his father. And that father, that no doubt for days, weeks, months, years, must have been saying, why? Why will you die? Why don't you come back? Why don't you just surrender and come back? Why don't you just humble yourself and come back? That father saw him. He was watching for him. Because that's how God is. He's the one that said, why will you die? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I just want him to turn from his wicked ways and live. But why do you want to die? And so the father is looking and he's waiting for his son to come home. And the son comes home.
Amen.
And his father sees him, runs to him, falls on his neck, kisses him, puts a robe on his back and a ring on his finger and kills a fatted calf. Because this is God. He says, I don't want you to die.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Look what Jesus said in Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28. Come unto me. Come unto me, Jesus says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That sounds like sin. That sounds like the burdens of sin and rebellion. And I will give you rest. Rest. sin gives you no rest, no peace, no comfort, no joy, no health. Jesus says, come and I will give you rest. Rest from the burdens of sin. Rest from the burdens of rebellion. Rest from the burdens of wickedness. Guilty conscience. Rest from the afflictions of sin.
Thank you, Lord.
Come. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, the way of transgressors is hard. And God gives us a much better way. A much better way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
You'll find truth and you'll find life in Jesus. You just come to Him. And if you're already His, stay close to Him. Don't wander off. Because the way of transgressors seems right. But the end thereof are the ways of death. They promise you freedom, but they're servants of corruption. Be careful. Come to Jesus. It says that in Isaiah, it says that Isaiah 53, and I'll close with this verse. Verse 5, He was wounded for our transgression. We broke God's law. Jesus Christ was wounded for your transgression. If you're not saved today, you need Jesus because He's the only one that was wounded and died for your transgressions, for your rebellion, for your sin. You'll come to Him, He'll save you. God said, why will you die? I've already made the way. I've already given my Son. And don't be like the ones that say, we will not. We will not walk therein. God says, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. To which God must say, why? Why will you die? I'll give you life, rest, everlasting life. It's all been done in Jesus Christ. Just come to Him. This is the way transgressors is hard. Amen.